What you are about to hear is selected segments from a four-hour debate that the Rational Response Squad recently engaged in. We recognize that that debate was rather lengthy and had a lot of historical information in it that did not cut right to the heart of the matter, and thought that maybe we should put out a little 30-minute segment so that you could get an idea of where we're coming from, why we think religion and Christianity in this specific case is completely irrational, and that believing in the Christian God is irrational. And as you will hear in this interview, it is very hard to defend the Christian God. And in fact, if you haven't heard before, I coined a term many years ago with a friend of mine called the theory of inherent dishonesty in theism, which posits that any theist, when defending any God, will be either ignorant or dishonest or both when doing so. And I think you'll see some of that here. And for those of you who say, oh man, you guys are being jerks with, you know, using words like that. And, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just calling a spade a spade. I really apologize if you're offended by the terminology that we use. But, you know, if somebody has cancer, we say they have cancer. If somebody's irrational, I think we should say they're irrational. So, you know, I apologize that you have irrational beliefs and I have the guts to call you out on it. I really don't know what to say. I love you guys. You know, I hope that you overcome it and, you know, enjoy this, 30-minute, show. Also visit us at the new website, freethinkingteens.com. And in fact, the gentleman who was on the show is a friend of one of the teens running freethinkingteens.com, which is going to be, and I got a feeling right now already is, the only free thought site in the world run by teens for teens. I, along with my adult crew, are helping to set up the logistics and background of the website, but even the web designer working on the site right now is an 18-year-old from London. So with that, without further ado, enjoy this short little segmented episode. If you want the full thing, come check out rationalresponders.com. Thanks so much.
There's a lot of the main Christian teachers and whatnot. They've all read the Bible and they've also gone ahead and stayed with it and saw that there were no problems. I mean, okay. I bet there's over at least a million teachers that have read the Bible and yet still do not believe that there's problems with it.
I bet you a good portion of them know there's problems with it, but are so, you know, predisposed into wanting to believe in a God that they overlook many of the problems.
And that's one of the things right there. I mean, I met people. I was when I first became an atheist, I used to debate two priests at my Catholic high school. All right. This was about 7-8 years ago. All right. I used to debate, not 7-8 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And I used to debate these priests every day after school. All right. And they knew there were problems in the Bible. Okay, they knew there was contradictions. And every time I bring them up to say, well, hey, look, you know, okay, that you're right. There's a problem there. He's like, but the Bible is not a science book. Okay, fine. The Bible contains errors. But according to your method, your philosophy, if there's a problem in the Bible, you should not believe in it because there might be, who knows how, what else is wrong. And that's the whole thing. Okay,
My thought is on it is that we are creating errors in the Bible through human reasoning.
Whoa. What kind of human reasoning?
The reasoning that we use, attempting to prevent, like, the contradictions that I've noticed.
And we're overlooking errors out of fear of hell and desire to fit in to the community and need to accept what our parents told us as children as being right and not being able to accept that they lied to us because they just didn't know, you know.
But there's a difference between going ahead and being lied to and still believing and then being studied and have studied a bunch and then going ahead and still believe.
Yeah, the end result, though, is that the people still believe.
But there's two different ways of getting to it.
I'm merely saying, you know, you want to say that that we're looking for errors or people are looking for errors in the Bible. You know, both Rook and I came to lack belief in what's inside the Bible, not by wanting to find errors in it, but by being believers and both loving our lives as believers, like wanting to be believers, okay? But we were honest with ourselves and had to, at some point, overcome the extremely hard urge to want to believe in a God and realize to ourselves that it's impossible, that it cannot exist, that the God of the Bible is an impossibility. Okay, there maybe might be a God out there, but the God of the Bible is an impossibility, and that for us was a very hard hurdle to overcome. Okay,
and human reasoning is attempting to say that,
and that's the reasoning that this God would have given to us. He would have known ahead of time.
No, the human human reasoning is what we ourselves created.
No, no. If you're telling me that God is the creator of life, He's the creator of human reasoning. Okay.
God.
I'm saying that God created human life, but we are the creators of human reasoning.
God would have known exactly how it was going to play out. He would have known that the logical and philosophically accurate answer to His existence was that He's not there. Okay, he would have known this, and he set up a system in which human reasoning would come into play, and he would basically give us brains and the capacity to think, and would instead require that we suspend all logical and rational judgment and choose to not be logical, choose to use faith, which is something that we don't even need a brain for to embrace. Okay, but yet he gave us this brain so that we could think. All right, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
No, from even the beginning, it states of how that he got ahead and created us and stuff, and he gave us the ability to think. Because I mean, if he would have, because he wanted us to love him and worship him. I mean, because it's not like if he wanted creatures to worship him and not have to worry about them or anything.
You know, you're really going into like a whole different. You're going into a whole different realm now. You know, if God didn't want us to love him, okay, this is a common, very, very common argument of Christians. God is supposedly infinite, okay? God was around before we were. At least that's what we're to believe, okay? An infinite being can't want. Okay, it's impossible. He just is. He just has. He just knows what will play out. In fact, he doesn't even know.
Yeah, there
okay?
You're speculating as well.
I'm sorry. I'm not speculating. I'm not speculating. Is he infinite or not? Did God have a creator or was he here forever? Which one?
Say though.
Did God have a creator? Did God have a creator or has he been here forever?
See, I can't even answer that question, though.
The Bible says he's omnipotent and he's omniscient, and that pretty much means he's always been there.
People tell us that the reason why they can't accept the Big Bang is because something had to create it, okay? And then they use the excuse that what created the Big Bang was God. And we say, well, then what created God? And they use the response, well, God's infinite. He's existed forever. He created the concept of time. He created the Big Bang, and God didn't need a creator because he's infinite. Well, infinity, okay, an infinite being that's all-knowing, that encompasses everything, doesn't have wants and needs. It's an impossibility. Okay? It's like a married bachelor, a square circle. They are impossibilities, okay? It cannot exist.
He still has a mind of his own, though.
How? That would make him physical.
Yeah,
that
would make him non-infinite.
That would make him have limitations.
He still has a mind of his own. That's why he was able to, that's why he was able to think, he was able to talk. I mean,
God talks somewhere?
God has a mouth.
He talks in the Bible.
You're applying all these human traits to God. With no basis, just simply speculation.
God's always been perfect. That's it. He's God.
Okay, so,
I mean,
think about it.
A supernatural being up there, okay. And like that's that. If we're just gonna we're just gonna assume here that the whole Christianity thing is correct. And we'll just assume that just for a second.
Okay.
All right. Just assume this. He created all of this. I mean, from the very the curves of a flower. To the raging motions.
To Hurricane Katrina, to the tsunami, to 9/11, to the Holocaust.
He also created what some mistakenly call Mother Nature. He also created nature of Earth. That's not, but what it's actually called.
To the Crusades, to the Catholic Church, to corruption, to greed. I'm just giving off the list of things that God would have created.
Because of what we had done, No. That's where a lot of people commonly get problem on, is the fact that those people think that he created all these sins. which they, he's not the one that said it, who created
it. Hurricane Katrina is a sin.
What happened, like the whole thing with Hurricane Katrina, which a lot of people will blame him, is that that's, that was what the world had done. Now, what
no, 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 no. The world didn't create Hurricane Katrina, okay?
We're gonna make
the world
is
not in control of weather. The world, hey, the world isn't in control of weather. The world isn't in control of the weather, okay? Humans are not in control of the weather.
Correction of an imbalance of the world.
If it is, then God created the imbalance and God created the correction, okay? The correction, the correction was the need to murder 2,000, the correction was the need to murder 2,000 Americans during Katrina, okay? That was the correction.
That's just how nature will go ahead, and we were there. It was not as if, I don't think the world or God, since God didn't even go and create the storm there, I'm pretty sure the world didn't mean, like, oh, I'm going to go kill those 2,000 people there.
I didn't say he said that, because I don't believe he exists. I'm only entertaining the ridiculous notion that if he did, okay, this is what he would have been responsible for. And to think otherwise is to be a cafeteria Christian, is to pick and choose which parts you're willing to accept of your God and which parts you don't want to accept. And that's what you're doing. You're saying, oh, well, people commonly say that God is responsible for this and God's responsible for that, but he's not. Oh, but then when somebody does good on a test or somebody gets a touchdown, that's God. But when somebody dies of cancer, that's not God. That's a humans made cancer. I mean, you know, it's, you have to be irrational and illogical. You asked earlier, why is belief in the Bible irrational? Belief in the Bible is irrational because you will willingly overlook, okay, reality to affix only positive qualities to your belief. You are only willing to put positive qualities on your God, and all of the negative is not his fault. When in reality, if you want to say that the negative is caused by humans, Mother Nature, Satan, whatever, God is still the creator of all things. He still created all of that and knew ahead of time all of the things that those things would create and allowed it to happen, knowing how it would all play out.
You're applying anthropomorphic traits to a being that you've never met, talked to, heard from, seen, gotten conversations with or had correspondence with. So, I mean, you're really just applying.
You're making God human.
Right.
Because it's what you want it to be. It's what you think it should be. But you have no evidence for that. You're just saying it's...
No human evidence.
No evidence.
No evidence at all.
No human evidence.
Human evidence, supernatural evidence, boogie-woogie evidence, no evidence. Zero evidence. None. Zilch. Nada.
Well, I have my faith.
Yeah, which is not evidence. I could have faith that purple unicorns exist on the moon, okay? Purple unicorns exist on the moon. I have faith in that, all right? Now, do purple unicorns exist on the moon? No. Is there any reason for me to even bring it up? No, all right? Do I sound silly when I say it? Yeah.
That's exactly how you sound to us.
That's how you sound when you say you have your faith that God is such and such and such and such, but you have no evidence for it.
Of course,
that's how it sounds to you, because you're still relying on total human evidence.
But that's all we have. That's the whole point. The point
you're
is,
saying let's use evidence that we don't have. That's all we've created is
our mind for human evidence.
According to your logic, we should use evidence that we don't have and can never obtain to prove something that we've never seen and never heard of. Hello?
Some people actually do have other evidence.
I do as well.
Well, here's the thing, all right? I want to use an example from I don't know if you've ever heard of him. His name's Sam Harris. You ever heard of Sam Harris?
Sorry.
Okay. Sam Harris has a book out called The End of Faith.
By the way, let me get a little plug in there, because this show will go out probably tonight or tomorrow. Sam Harris is the author of End of Faith and has a new book coming out, Letter to a Christian Nation, September 19th. He will be on the show with us this weekend, although the show will not air to the general public until September 22nd, I believe, the Friday after his book is released. We have first rights to get Sam on the show. Sam will be appearing this Saturday, and we will be live in our StickCam webcam room when we record about a 12-hour recording session from the basement here at Rational Response Squad Studios. That would be about 1 p.m. Eastern Time this Saturday, September 9th. You can hear the behind-the-scenes show being recorded of Sam Harris on our show, which won't air again until the proper way until September 20-something. So check it out this weekend. But back on your point on Sam Harris.
Well, I can't find the exact quote, which kind of irritates me because it was a really damn good quote. He talks about it in one of his, I guess the seminar on his book. He's talking about the end of faith, and basically one of the corresponding analogies that he uses is someone who believes that there's this giant diamond the size of the refrigerator buried under the backyard. Okay, they believe it. Okay, they believe it, and they say things like, "I can't live in a world without this giant diamond in my backyard that's the size of a refrigerator. You know, I can't imagine a life in this world without this giant diamond the size of a refrigerator buried in my backyard." All right, you have to have faith in this giant diamond. You know?
I don't know if you gave enough background to it. I mean, you understand what he's talking about here, Stephen?
Yeah, I mean,
when somebody will say, you know, like, "I couldn't imagine life without God." I mean, you've heard that before, right? Like, oh,
yeah, I've heard that a few times.
Right, and go ahead, Rook. I mean, your point is they're taking something on faith, imagine a giant diamond, or somebody believing that a giant diamond was in their backyard. What was it, buried inside a refrigerator or something?
It's the size of a refrigerator.
Oh, for a size of a refrigerator, right.
It's huge. They believe that there's this huge giant diamond, right, and that you have to have faith that the giant diamond's there. They know it's there, okay? They've never seen it, but they have to have faith that this giant diamond the size of a refrigerator is buried under their backyard. And, you know, you can't dig it up. It's there. It's a mystery. That's part of the mystery of it, that you don't know if it's there or not, but you have to believe it's there, because if you're not there, you're never going to have this giant diamond the size of... Because you, too, can have this giant diamond the size of a refrigerator in your backyard as long as you believe it's there. And this is the thing, okay? According to your logic that you're stating right here, this human, quote-unquote, human evidence thing, okay? If there's some spiritual evidence, all right, and that... According to your logic, that person who believes in that giant diamond the size of a refrigerator that's buried under his backyard and that you can have it too is just as right because he's using the exact same evidence or lack of evidence that you're using. He's using faith. He has faith, and he might actually believe that there is a giant diamond the size of a refrigerator buried under his backyard. In fact, he might have other people around him who he's convinced of the same thing, and they really believe it, okay? And they believe it just as you believe that you have a God up in heaven that created the sky as beautiful as it is, who has a mind and has wants and desires. And these are the same form of logic, okay? If I said there's a snarf widget on top of your head, and I know there's a snarf widget on top of your head, I have faith that there's a snarf widget on top of your head, but you can't see it. Only I can see it. And sometimes I don't even know what exactly the snarf widget looks like, because he changes shape, and sometimes I don't even know what he's saying, because his words might not mean exactly what he says, you know, and all of this, you know, and this and that, you know, and we can go on and on for hours here, and I would actually believe this, okay, but that doesn't make it so.
Okay, so yeah, I understand what you're talking about. I totally get that. I mean, I've noticed that like all the time.
Well, wait a second. If you get that, then why do you use that argument? Why do you use the argument that faith is what you need to believe in God?
Because it assures me of what happens to me when I die.
But it doesn't assure
you. No, it doesn't assure you of anything.
That's
it doesn't.
You basically
have to lie to yourself in order to trick yourself into thinking
something will happen to you.
No, lie by your perspective. You just understood his argument. You just admitted you understand his argument.
I understand it, but that doesn't mean I accept it.
You don't accept that a person that's wanting to believe in a diamond in their backyard
no,
that has no evidence
of
it.
That kind of thing you do because it's
not faith in your God. But if it's faith in a diamond, if it's faith in a diamond, then it sounds ridiculous. But if it's faith in a God, then it doesn't sound ridiculous.
No, but there's a little bit more difference and a little bit more...
The difference is you are predisposed to believing in a God, but not in a diamond. That you want to believe in a God, that the God will give you, you think, eternal life. The diamond will not. So you have no good reason to believe in the diamond.
By going ahead and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your personal Savior, and keeping Him as your Savior, and believing in Him, and having full and true faith, then you're going to heaven no matter what.
So,
no matter what you've done. So what I've also learned about the whole commands and everything is, like, his requests, especially in the New Testament, is that, that I've learned to go ahead and keep these requests because I've learned of so much he's given up for me and how much he's given up.
What has he given up for you?
Sending his son to die. I mean, I don't know. That's
but he didn't really die.
Wait, he didn't really send his son.
Again.
He didn't die. He didn't die.
Okay, he again.
I believe he
right
died.
Who did? Jesus or God?
Jesus died.
Jesus died, okay, so that he could rule over all eternity, and that gave, now he was giving up something.
What was he giving up there?
What was he giving up?
Flesh?
What was he giving up?
His son.
So, Jesus came down, and in order to rule over all eternity, he needed to die for your sins. What was he giving up?
What was God giving up?
He came down with a specific purpose. What was he giving up when he actually went through with his purpose, his life? But he's not dead. He's infinite.
God had given up.
He's not dead.
He's infinite. God had given up his son.
But he's not dead. He's infinite. He's not dead.
But his son died. And then he was raised again.
Okay, you say, let's keep the concepts the same. If he's the same, he's the same. It's not his son. He's the same.
No, it is his son.
Okay, fine.
This is the difficult thing to try to understand is how triune God.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to understand when you say somebody is the same and somebody is the son.
Let me put this different thing. All right, the father gave up his son.
Doesn't this sound like D&D right now?
It does.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like Dungeons and Dragons right now. cross between Dungeons and Dragons and Star Wars.
Really, it does. Really.
Go ahead. It's funny, but that's how it sounds, dude. Seriously, you tell. I mean, so let's just stick to one concept for purposes of the conversation. Is it God or the Son? If it's a triune God, then right, fine. Then let's refer to him as the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit. There are three different things that make up God. Right. Okay,
one
fine.
Thing, apparently.
Right, the three different things that make up God, they're delineated by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are we agreed?
We're agreed.
Okay, so the Father created, he came down to earth in human flesh to sacrifice himself to himself so that others could escape the wrath of himself. And what was he giving up when he... I know, it's funny. What was he giving up when he didn't die? Okay, he's still alive. Okay, he's still ruling over all eternity. And down here on Earth, he wasn't ruling over all eternity, or all humanity, I'm sorry, all life. Okay, what did he give up?
Let's see.
Because his life is certainly not what he gave up.
But when he came down, that the Son was living a human life, having to suffer the human elements, for one, and also he went through the punishment.
He suffered the human elements because of a rule that he created, that he knew he would have to come down for. He created the system where he would need to come down and kill himself, sacrifice himself to himself, so that others would escape the evil, vengeful wrath of himself. What did he give up?
He gave up, let's see.
Like, I've heard.
No. Let him go. Let it go.
Let's see if I can try it.
Okay, wait. So he gave up his life, and what was the other thing you said? He gave up. He had to come down, and he had to. What was your wording?
Yeah, what I said, that he had to endure the human elements.
He had to endure the human elements. Don't you think it's kind of effed up, though, that, like, we're enduring the human elements right now, like, as if, like, that's, like, a bad thing? Like, he had to endure the human elements. As if that's like a bad thing.
We endured we earned these human elements by going ahead and disobeying him at creation.
But again, if God were perfect, he would have known that we were going to disobey him. So
let's
why
make sure,
did he create us? That's like
right. Let's make sure. Wait a second. Let's make sure we come back to this. Basically, God framed us. You realize that, right? God framed us. Okay, God's all knowing, right? So when he created Adam and Eve. All right. Did he know what Adam and Eve would choose? Did he know that Eve would choose to eat the apple?
Yeah, I guess he would.
Okay. So he knew that Eve would choose to eat the apple. What is it? Like just a few days after he created her, right? I mean, it wasn't very long.
It was actually like the day after he created Eve.
Okay, right. It's not like he has to have some amazing, you know, powers of all knowingness. Okay, he needs to know a day in advance. All right.
I think he can do that.
Yeah, I think he can handle that one. All right. Okay, so he knows a day in advance that Eve will eat the apple. Now he's all perfect. All right. So he has the ability, and this is where people will say God will not affect free will. People will say, you know, how come he made Adam and Eve knowing that they would sin? And people will go, oh, well, they had to have free will. They had to have the ability to choose. And now I always say, no, you don't even make that argument, which is great. You know, it makes this even easier. But I always say, well, if Adam and Eve.
Although we do have to wrap this up because I do have school in the morning.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I'll finish this point. So God's all-knowing, right? And he knew ahead of time what we would choose, all right? Yet he is, and he's all perfect. So, or he's perfect, as you claim, and all-powerful. So he has the ability to change us so that we would not have sinned, okay? And he also has the ability to change us so that we would not have sinned without affecting free will. Now, that's my normal argument if you would say to me that God wouldn't want to mess with free will, okay? Now, you don't even make that argument. So the point is, it doesn't even matter. God could have just intervened and made it so that Adam and Eve wouldn't have sinned, knowing that they would have. Now, you say to yourself, okay, well, you know, he knew they would sin, but, you know, he let it play out or whatever. Well, he created Adam and Eve a day before. They're his creation. He's the perfection that you speak of. He created people knowing one day in advance that they would have to suffer his punishment. Okay? He created a system having full ability to change it, having full knowledge that he would have to punish it, and had the power to make the human person however he wanted to do it. He could have made them however he wanted to. He could have made us so that we all went to heaven. That would have been an all-loving creation. He could have made us so that none of us, if you think that God should or can intervene with free will, then you probably would have no problem with God having made us all so that we did nothing but good. Okay?
We could have also made us just go right into heaven.
We could have all done nothing but good. Okay? And still all had meaningful lives. We could have all had separate, meaningful lives, none of us having the same exact life, but nobody murdering people, you know, the Holocaust never happening. People, you know, actually, like, trying to make the world a better place, like giving us a rock to live on this earth, and all of us could do the things that we do currently to better humanity. Like, we could have invented electricity. You know, we could, you know, computers. You know, we could have still done all of these things. Okay? So people say, well, you know, if you didn't have free will, you'd be a robot. But that's not really true. I mean, it's just, you could, you know, have free will to do many different things, except you aren't capable of murdering somebody. I mean, wouldn't life be a lot better if people didn't murder each other? You know, wouldn't life be a lot better if hurricanes like Katrina didn't happen or 9/11 didn't happen? We didn't have wars, violence, hate, evil. Okay. God knew the day before he created Adam and Eve exactly what they would do. He had the power to change them and chose not to. Okay. He framed them.
I see more as he sees what's our future going to be. But I see it's more like we created it for ourselves. Like he saw it coming for us.
But you neglect the whole idea of the fact that he created us knowing exactly what would happen and had the power to change it.
I think he could have changed it, but I don't think that he interferes us that way.
Well, you just said he did.
Yeah.
And he could have, but I don't think he did. I don't think he wanted to.
Okay.
Well, that's the point.
Well, obviously he didn't want to. That's the point.
That's what we're
saying. Exactly.
Where's the justice? Where's the love? Why is he condemning us to hell?
He framed us. Specifically framed us.
He created us.
Maybe he has a greater way of doing stuff.
A greater way of doing stuff that anybody with a half a brain would recognize as harmful, vengeful, evil. It's the type of thing that you would attribute to Satan, not the work of God. It's the type of thing that would make an intelligent person, an intellectual philosopher believe that the God of the Bible is actually Satan?
Here's
how do you know that Satan wasn't the one causing much of this stuff, this problems that happened, war, chaos, everything that happened? How do you know that Satan wasn't the one that was actively interfering and God did not interfere?
Well, but who created Satan?
I don't know. It doesn't say if he just came into being.
It does say, and this is a creative God.
He was created the angels, and then Satan and his followers.
And who knew ahead of time exactly everything that Satan
would
ever do?
Everything was planned out. There's some great plan then.
Okay, so now you're going to go through the mystery of this, but you don't know God. You don't know the mysteries. You can't claim it's a mystery.
No, I can't claim that. I can only speculate on it.
Exactly, and that's what
you don't know if there's a great plan. You don't know if there's God. I mean.
Well, we don't know that either, but we're not going with coulda, woulda, shouldas, okay? We're going with what actually has happened, what we can verify happened, and what's the probable reality that we're living in right now, okay? Yes, that all the events you're talking about are possible, okay? They're possible to some extent, all right? But in probability, all right, chances are none of this stuff ever happened, okay? It's more probable that we came to be through evolutionary methods, that we're here now after 4 billion years. Okay,
you're talking about fact and fiction here. I mean, it's not about probability. We evolved. That's a scientific fact.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is
the way we evolved to get here is not completely known and not completely understood. Although it's pretty darn well understood. The fact that we evolved is a fact.
Tiny molecule that just happened to take millions and millions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. What was the problem? You were going to jump into your Kent Hovind there?
Evolution thought. So
that's fine. Yeah. You know, I don't agree that 2 + 2 = 4, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
I mean, we're talking about scientific fact, okay?
We're not talking about speculation.
Science, we're not talking about speculation.
This is the basis
from human mind.
I'm sorry. Science what? That was created from the human mind? You mean just like God? Science that was created from the human mind. You said science that was created from the human mind, and I said just like God. Except God is infalsifiable. God is infalsifiable and provable like science is.
Exactly.
How can you prove that science actually? I mean, because
it's falsifiable. You can create tests. You can create tests and repeat and get the same results over and over and over again. And guess what? If the results aren't the same, science changes. It learns what the difference is. Christianity and religion doesn't. It hides it under the rug and says, "Ooh, that didn't happen." It says, "Ooh, well, maybe God doesn't intervene with us." You know?
Do you believe the Earth is round or do you believe the Earth is flat?
I think it's square.
Honestly, you think it's a square?
Well, hey, it's not an out of bounds question. You just said that you don't believe in the whole evolution thing, which is scientific fact. So it's also scientific fact that the Earth is spherical.
And to prove what Brian stated,
well, scientific fact, which was brought back from a single person thinking of that,
Well, pretty much all theories,
monkeys and humans.
All theories pretty much start from a single person, and they work their way from there, generally.
Right. The Greeks knew that the Earth was a sphere, all right? They knew this in the 1st century and the 2nd century, and then Orthodox Christianity took over in the 3rd century, and they totally destroyed the entire basis of the scientific method, and that's why they call it the Dark Ages. Because all science, all rational thought was exterminated by the Orthodox Church and the Roman Empire when Constantine took over. Alright? The only time it took a plague that wiped out most of the world's population, the Black Plague, alright, to actually bring about rational thought. And you know why that happened? Because people said, no loving God would do this. No loving God would kill entire cities. What kind of God does that? What the heck is? Why are we? We're faithful people. We pray every day, okay? And this is what happens. Most of the world's population was wiped out in just a few years' time. So the Renaissance happens, and all of a sudden we have a bursting out of free thought, a bursting out of rational thought. All right, it took over 1,000 years. For the thoughts of rational people and science to reemerge because of religion. Religion stunts growth. It stunts the production and the productivity of mankind. It stunts it because thinking rationally destroys religious dogma. That's what it does. And that's what we're trying to show you. We're trying to show you that you're holding on to a crutch that you don't really need. Okay? You're clinging to it for dear life here. I mean, you're trying to tell me there's no contradictions in the Bible when I showed you one. And only after all this time of trying to show you the contradictions point by point have you finally started to question. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't need this crutch that you're clinging to. You can live a perfectly healthy, viable life without God. And one of the wonderful things about being a free thinker is that you're not bound to these childish philosophies. You're not bound to these primitive thoughts. Okay? Like you're saying here that God knows everything, that God would know in advance. When in Genesis 3 at the fall of man, God had no idea what had happened. God's clueless. He even asked Eve what happened. He asked why they, how they knew they were naked. Wouldn't God, an omnipotent God, know?
Do you really think that was God not knowing what was happening, or do you think that was God thinking, maybe let's see if she recognizes her mistakes?
You're speculating.
Wait a sec. Whoa. Did you hear what you just said? You just said, do you really think it's God not knowing? So basically, you want to say that God is all knowing, and then you said he wanted to see if she would recognize her mistakes. Well, if he was all knowing, as you insinuated in the first half of your statement, wouldn't he know ahead of time if she would see her mistakes?
That was me speculating on what he was thinking. That wasn't me.
You were speculating and contradicting.
And you see what happens when you speculate, you just open up more holes for yourself. Okay, because one of the things about the Bible is that it says what it says already. Okay, and you're trying to reinterpret it and take it out of context and do all these weird things to it. All you're doing is digging yourself into a hole. And this is what Brian already told you right there is a perfect example of doing that. And this is why the Bible is fallible. This is why the Bible contains errors. And this is why it should be dismissed as primitive toilet paper, really. Right, and that could be blasphemy, but I'm still here talking to you, and I'm not dead yet. So apparently, God's not working today, and it's Monday. So
yeah, it's not his day off.
It's not his day off. It's not Saturday. All right, actually, technically, in 3 minutes, it's going to be Tuesday. So there's something you should understand here.
Well, maybe he went to bed at 11.
Well, I deny the Holy Spirit, and I'm still here yet. So,
Stephen, you got to go.
Yeah, actually, I do.